You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Hello, people of the New Japan Pro Wrestling fandom. My name is Curtis Spears. I'm your good friend Curtis Spears from the Ichiban Sweetcast G-Wandering G1 Climax 34 Night 8. Oh my god, this one got away from me. So we dropped so many episodes at once that Ryan, God bless him, had to turn around and say, "Hey guys, where's Night 8? And I said, "Oh fuck, that was me." I'm the one who encouraged Rafe to do these goddamn things, and then I'm the one that fucked up the timing. So I apologize. If you want to blame anyone, you can blame my two pugs, because they have both been fucking infested with fleas. It's summertime here in the UK, and there are fucking fleas everywhere. These two, we've been fighting it. We've been fighting it, man. It's been hellish. We've had to strip every bit of furniture and bedding and everything throughout the entire house. And all they want to do is go outside and play. And it's like, fuck. The more you go outside and play, the more fleas you get. You fucking flea bags. They're cute. They're both looking at me like, "Why are you talking about us like that right now, Daddy? Why are we disrespected?" But yes, it seems like we've gotten things under control. And thank you for putting up with it. I'm really sorry. But I'm going to do my best to talk to you about Night 8 here. I'm going to do this a Rafe-style one-taker as far as I can. Okay, here we go. So the first match of the night for Night 8 was Yota Tsuji versus Bars. My boy, fucking Oleg Bolton, Bolton Oleg, whatever you want to call him. His name's Oleg Bolton, but they call him Bolton Oleg for some reason. I don't know why. Well, I'm going to call him Bars. How about that? Bars. This was big meaty men slapping meat, the fucking match. Two of my favorite dudes to watch, and they went at it. It was pretty big. Bolton hit the kamikaze and only got a two out of it. Yota Tsuji missed the Marla crash. Has he nailed that once this entire fucking tournament? I don't necessarily think he has. It's a cool move when it pulls off, but I can't for the life of me can't think of one match where he's pulled it off so far. Great match. Big Gene Blast for three, and Yota Tsuji pulls ahead. I get no points out of that. So Yota Tsuji was drafted by Josh, I believe. So Josh gets 2 points over me there. Don't like it. Next up, and this was a fucking wild match. I really liked this one. Hinare versus Yuya Uemura. So you've got an absolute fucking bare knuckle brawler, fucking punch you in the face, mano a mano kind of guy versus a dude who's nothing but pitch perfect fucking basics. And it was really good. Yuya was doing really well. He was able to kind of force his way out of all of Hinare's big grapples and throws and things like that. Where Yuya really fell down was in the strike exchange. They started headbutting and punching and things like that, and that's where Yuya just didn't have what it took. And that's where Hinare finished him off and got a good 2 points out of it. Yuya, take that and learn, because damn, dude. Yeah, you're way better at throwing fucking German suplexes than you are at throwing fucking headbutts, okay? Next up was, and this one, I got 2 points out of it, but I'm really fucking sad about it. Jeff Cobb beating El Phantasmo. This was tough. El Phantasmo is probably the story that I'm most interested in for this entire G1. I've been feeling it. I really wish that I had drafted him. I'm glad that Josh got him, because Josh's partner is a huge El Phantasmo fan, so he would have felt really bad if he hadn't gotten him. It's cool, but I got my 2 points back from Josh, so it's cool. Jeff Cobb, you could see the fire building in El Phantasmo. He was on the verge, man. He was almost there. He was trying so hard and just fell at the last minute. He comes off the top rope, gets caught, and oh my God, tore the islands. Kaboom. Now, Jeff Cobb is one of those dudes who, like, not everyone can beat him. I mean, he's a champion in New Japan for a reason. He's the most believable dude. Like, he is able to be beaten, but no one looks at you losing to Jeff Cobb and goes, oh, you're washed. You know, everyone's like, oh, you know, that makes sense. So it was very believable that he was going to lose, but El Phantasmo, like, he had me believing. And like, Jeff Cobb's on my team. He's one of the British beefcakes. And man, he had me believing for a second there. I really thought he was going to pull it out. So I hope this doesn't set back El Phantasmo, because he was great for this entire tournament, and he's almost there. He's almost there. I believe this actually took El Phantasmo out of any sort of running. It's only like night 8 and he's already out of the fucking tournament, which makes me sad. But that's what happens when you're in the B block. B block is tough, man. Next up, we had Goto versus Ren Narita. Now, Goto, another dude who's, you know, I've waxed lyrical about here on this very, very podcast, talking about calling him like the Superman to the rest of the Raiwa Easy Company's fucking the authority. Goto coming in with the old man strength, ready to fucking show Ren what for, and maybe knock a little sense into him. But Ren's fucking smart, dude. He's a crazy little goblin, and he's gonna do what he needs to do to win. And that's exactly what he did. Low blows, headbutts, you know, hitting him with things, and then a double cross for the win. Can I, just for a minute, the double cross is a dumbass finisher. Like, it is the worst. There are so many finishers in New Japan that are so impactful and so badass and so impressive. And then there's the double cross, which is just completely it's not impressive at all. I would really prefer to see Ren do something. And this has been a problem for me for the house for a long time. Like, when Sho first joined the house, I thought, oh man, wouldn't it be great if he took that grappling side of him, of his character, and went full on fucking evil with it. You know, not evil like evil, but like evil, like, I'm going to choke you out. I'm going to break your arm instead of just making you tap, like that sort of thing. And Ren's got such like a crazy grappling strong style background that he could do the same thing. If he hit Goto with a low blow and then locked in a fucking rear naked choke and just refused to let it go, even after Goto like went down, that's evil. That's fucking mean. And I would love to see that. But instead we get this like X-Pac fucking, double cross, and I don't fucking care for it. I'm sure he doesn't give a shit what I think, but I love Ren other than the double cross. I think it's a bad finisher, but Ren gets the win, 2 points, and that goes to that's an own goal for Rafe. So that was 2 points for Rafe, no matter who won. Next up, we have the main event of the evening, Takeshita versus David Finlay. This was fucking awesome. If David Finlay hasn't opened your eyes this tournament, you're not paying attention. I'm going to keep saying it. David Finlay is on a fucking roll, y'all. This match was rad. You got to see a lot of really impressive shit from Takeshita. Like, dude might be the MVP of the tournament, and it makes me sad to say that about a guy coming over from AEW, but he's been fucking killing it. And I think the big spot from this match that everyone really liked was Takeshita covering David Finlay on the outside, covering up with like 7 or 8 different chairs, just piling them up over him, and then hitting a Tope Atomico from the inside of the ring to the outside and splashing down on those chairs on David Finlay. What a fucking madman. Absolute cuckoo banana pants crazy town, and I fucking loved it. I was jumping up and down. I scared the dogs. It was crazy. And I loved it. David Finlay. Now, it might not have been as impressive as some of the shit that Takeshita was doing, but David Finlay was actually able to like will himself. He was able to will himself to the win. You know what I mean? So Red Shoes was bumped down at one point, and like we didn't get full House of Torture shenanigans, but we did get some like interference and things like that. But like, I mean, David Finlay was still able to break out of like a brutal world class elbow and a blue thunderbomb. Takeshita takes out Gedo, and it was so close. Takeshita was almost there, but at that point, Finlay, you know, survive, look for your opening and win. And, you know, I sat here and said like, oh, he doesn't wrestle like Jay White. He doesn't wrestle like Jay White, but like waiting for his opening to throw out a nasty finisher is exactly what Jay White would do. So I will admit that like some people sometimes say that he's a lower class Jay White. I don't think so, but like that was very smart of him. Of David Finlay to win with the overkill at just the right moment. All in all, not a great night, but a good night. We got some good results out of it. We got some great matches. Day 8, yeah, fine. We'll say sweet instead of sour. Next up is night 9 from Rafe. He's going to be talking about that one. I don't have the matches in front of me. I'm sorry. I'm doing this completely off the dome. And I got to go back to cleaning. So wish me luck. I'm going to go bug bomb everything for like the 4th day in a row. No more fucking fleas in my house. Okay. God damn it. I'm looking at you, Frankie. Teddy's somewhere sleeping. I don't know. Anyway. All right. If you want to check us out online, you can check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Ichiban Suite. You can get in touch with us. Hey, if you want to, you know, leave us a message for our upcoming 100th episode celebration at the end of the G1, we'd appreciate it. You can send us a little love, send us a little shit talk if you want to. We don't care. Thank you very much. If you want to hear how our pick'ems, not our pick'ems, our draft is going from the Stiff One Climax draft, you can go ahead and check out the We Work Stiff podcast. You can check out Rafe's other podcast, the Faces and Feels cast, where he gets to know independent wrestlers. And it's a nice interview series where you get to see a different side of people instead of just a character they play in the ring. You can check out us on the Countout Podcasting Network. That's patreon.com/countoutpod. You can go to youtube.com. And everyone knows what YouTube is. It doesn't have to be youtube.com, does it? Shut up. Finish the fucking episode. You can go to YouTube and check out Countout Pod on there. If you prefer to get your podcast that way, that's a great place to do it. And there's shows for everyone. You want Deathmatch, you want Joshi, you want different kinds of puro. You want news, everything. It's all on there. And the last thing that I'm going to say to you guys is thanks for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. We love you.
Do you have interest in Joshi, specifically stardom? And you've asked yourself, where do I start? How do I learn? Well, good news for you. The Countout Podcast Network has a podcast dedicated to the history of World Wonder Ring Stardom that can help you learn, watch, and enjoy. This is the Stardom Road Podcast, hosted by Trent Brewer and myself, Scott Evans. Every other week, we dive into the history of wrestling's biggest women's promotion today. We have you covered.
Stardom Road is the perfect podcast for new fans looking to learn all about the deep history of the wrestlers, events, and championships they're seeing for the very first time, or for those who have been there from the very beginning simply looking to remember the good old days. So join us for multi-episode deep dives into the history of key figureheads like Arisa Hoshiki and smaller discussions on key role players like Chris Wolfe. Find out about the lineage of championships like the High Speed Belt or how the various tournaments have changed over the years. And of course, spend time with us discussing important topics like how to costume change battle royals or the very peak of the company.
You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Join us on the Stardom Road.
This has been a Countout Podcast.